Good morning. How's everybody doing this snowy day? I would say fine, and it probably still is a fine day, but it's snowy. I'm not ready for snow. Well, for the past couple of weeks, we've been kind of announcing the possibility of two services, and we've been asking everybody to pray about that. And we want to get as much feedback as possible. It's one of the reasons we're asking you to pray about it, to think about it, to pray about it, to pray what God wants for us as a church. Next week, we're actually going to be kind of putting a survey to everybody with possible times. And this is just one step in the entire long process of figuring out what it's going to look like, if we're going to do it, all those kinds of things. But we're, like I said, we're wanting to get as much feedback as possible. So if you can be here next week, please do so to be a part of that. If not, come talk to myself, to any one of the board members about that, any kind of questions you may have about this entire process. Like I said, there's been a lot of consideration going into this. You know, we've seen some substantial growth actually throughout this summer. There, like Seth said, there have been times where there's been people standing in the back going, "Where do I sit?" We've even had a few people kind of get up so that new people could kind of sit down, and they've just stood in the back. Our kids downstairs has been full and full and getting fuller, which is amazing. I mean, that's one of the things that's super, super exciting is our kids ministry is growing, and I mean, whether you like kids or not, kids mean that there's life coming. But there's still a lot of different details to be figured out, a lot of things to take into consideration, lots of conversations. We're not wanting to rush into this, which is the biggest reason why we're wanting you to pray over this. And so with that in mind, us been asking you to kind of be praying over the situation, be praying over the possibility of two services, all the details that go into that, everything. I thought it'd be a good idea to do, to really kind of talk about prayer. And if you have your Bibles, we're actually going to be jumping around to several different verses and everything, but we're going to start out in Psalms 5. So if you have your Bibles, you go ahead and turn there. Like I said, we'll be jumping around, so I'm going to have all the verses up on the screen in your notes. I've got all the references. I tried to squeeze them all in there so you could actually read them, but I ran out of room, and size 4 font didn't seem like it'd be appropriate. But like I said, I really kind of want to talk about prayer, because I feel like prayer is one of those things that we say we do, or we do without a whole lot of understanding. We do it because we know we should, but there's not, may not have this full understanding of what it is or even how to do it necessarily. I grew up in the church, and I never had a prayer 101. It was something that you learned by really kind of association, by hearing other people pray, by reading the Bible, and I think that's a huge disservice from the church to people. If you're a new Christian or are interested in what a Christian is and you're seeking things out, there's two things people say that, okay, these are the things you need to do. You need to pray and read your Bible. Okay. And you go, okay, where do I start if I start reading my Bible? And you usually get a pretty informed answer. Most of the time they'll say, you know what, start with one of the Gospels, because if you're wanting to learn about who Jesus is, you start in the Gospel. A lot of people actually will point to the book of John. You ask about prayer, they suddenly becomes a spokesperson for Nike. You just do it. Just start talking. Okay, that's kind of weird, kind of awkward. Like, how am I supposed to do it? What are all these things involved with prayer? And we don't give that informed answer. We don't guide them as much as we should, which is crazy because prayer is such a huge part of our walk. It's a huge part of having a relationship with Christ. But it's something the church as a whole kind of lacks in leading and teaching people about. And so people just don't do it as often. And I've kind of come up with 4 reasons why people don't pray as often or as much as they should. And the first reason is they don't pray as much or as often because they don't know how to. They're unsure of how to pray. And so they kind of fumble around, or they're just like, well, I'll pray along with everybody else and kind of figure it out, I guess. But there's this unsureness when it comes to praying. The second reason, and this is one I kind of fall into, it's we get bored or distracted easily. I very easily get distracted. You see a squirrel running across, and I'm probably looking at it and not paying attention to whatever else that was going on. I love sitting out, and I love trying to pray to God, but then my favorite place is to go out into nature and do it. Be outside, be somewhere praying to God. But I will often find myself praying, and then a few minutes later, wondering why God made giraffes with long necks when he could have made the tree shorter. And then I'm like, what am I doing? This had nothing to do with what I was praying about. I just get distracted. And then the third reason is that we don't think that what we're praying about is important enough. This isn't big enough to take to God, so why do I need to pray about it? Why should I take this to God? There's more important things that need to be prayed about. There's other things going on, happening to other people or different situations that should get God's attention. So I'm not going to take this to God. And the fourth one is that we're not sure if our prayers will make a difference. And we begin to question, well, will this do anything? Will me bringing this to God or talking to God about it, will it do anything? Why should I be praying? And so, like I said, those are the four reasons I've kind of come up with that why people don't pray more. And those last two especially are really kind of tied to that first reason. When there's not a huge understanding of what prayer is and why we do it. You know, we often question, what is prayer? We hear it at church service, we hear it at funerals, at weddings, right before we eat. But then we go, really, what is it and why do we do it? And in Psalm 5, David starts off with this psalm talking about prayer. And it really kind of answers that question of what is prayer. And so this is Psalms 5, 1 through 3. O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. So I know you're not supposed to use the word you're trying to define in the definition, but I think David, he really kind of gives us a really good idea of what prayer is. He starts out by asking God to hear him, to pay attention to him. As he groans and he cries for help, as he pours out to God, he's saying, listen to me, please. Hear me. Then he asks God to listen to him in the morning, because it's in the mornings that David brings his requests to God and he waits for God's answer. He has a time where he's going, God, here is when I will be doing it. Here is when I will be waiting and listening. And so if we look at this, we can see that praying is whining to God and asking him for stuff. And everyone said amen. All right, let's head out now. No, there's more to it than that. If we really look at what David is doing, we see that prayer is quite simple. It's communication with God. Prayer is communication with God. And I know that sounds like a super simple Sunday school answer. Everybody's like, well, yeah, I knew that. What else is it supposed to be? But if we know it, then how come we don't do it more often? If we know it's something that's so simple as simply communicating or talking to God, why do we make excuses saying, I'm not good at praying? I don't have the words to say. That's not something that I can do. What if I mess up? And we start saying, well, I'm not a good enough prayer, so I'm not going to do it. And let me tell you this. If my wife is able to look past our first date where I said 26 words, I think God can look past any mistakes you might make in a prayer. I'll just put it that way. The thing is, he wants to talk to you. He wants there to be this connection, this relationship, because a relationship starts with talking. Mine took a little bit longer because I only said 26 words, but it got there. God wants to have that communication with you. Every true relationship at its core has to have communication. There has to be talking. There has to be conversation if it's going to last, if it's going to hold. God wants to have that with us. Prayer isn't just a check mark on a list for us to do. All right, I said my morning prayer, I'm good to go. No, in fact, nothing with God is a checklist. But we have to be communicating with God. We have to be having conversations. We have to be talking with God for our relationship to be solid. And so if prayer is communicating or talking to God, the next question is, what do I talk about? What do I talk about? How do I say it? What are the things I need to do in having a conversation with God? Now, I've come up with four things to kind of counteract the four reasons we don't pray more. The first thing, all these four will kind of help guide us in prayer. The first thing is, talk to God with gut-level honesty. Be straight up with God. Have those honest conversations. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to hear everything. I mean, he already knows what's going on. You can't hide anything from him, so you might as well be honest. Exodus 5, 22-23 is a great example of a gut-level prayer. This is Moses having a conversation with God, and starting in verse 22. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, "Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them." This is right after Moses' first conversation with Pharaoh. He's gone to Pharaoh and he said, "Hey, this is what God is telling me to tell you. Let my people go out in the desert, let us make sacrifices, and then we'll come back." And Pharaoh says, "No, I don't want to do that. In fact, I'm going to make things worse for the Israelites because of what you're saying, because of you." And so Moses is going, he's having this honest conversation where he's going, "God, what are you doing? You told me to say these things, and this is what's happening. Why? How come? What is going on?" And he's bearing himself to God. He's being honest. He's not hiding what he's feeling. He's sharing his frustration, his feelings of humiliation, his confusion. When we talk to God, be honest. Like I said, he already knows what's happening. Share it with him. Have that conversation with him. Talk to him about what you're going through, how it's making you feel. Just be straight with him and don't embellish or think you even have to use a certain amount of words. If your conversation is simply, "God, I don't know what to say," then that's your conversation. You don't have to go on and on. Or if you're thankful, you can simply say, "God, I'm so thankful I don't even have more words to say about it other than just say thank you." And you don't have to embellish on what's going on. Matthew 6, 5, and 7 says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, this is all the reward they will ever get." Verse 7, "When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again." God wants to hear from our hearts. He doesn't want to hear how fancy our words are and how it impresses other people. He doesn't want us to go on and ramble about nothing, trying to fill words. He's not a professor grading on performance and on word length. He wants to know what's inside of our hearts. And it has to be honest. He wants that depth with us. There's nothing you can't tell God. There's no conversation that's going to surprise him. But he wants to hear it come from you. The second thing when it comes to prayer and this guide, whatever you want to call it, talk to God about everything that matters to you. There's no approved list of the things that you can talk to God. It's not like, okay, you can talk to God about X and Y, but do not mention Z. Do not do that. There is no list like that. Whatever that matters to you, whatever is inside of your heart, whatever is coming to your mind, talk to God about it. Have that conversation. If it matters to you, talk to him. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." If it's on your mind, if it's weighing on your heart, pray about it. Talk to God about it. Every situation, big, small, in between. You have a fight at home, pray about it. You have something going on at work, pray about it. You're getting a flu shot and you hate needles like me, pray about it. If it matters to you, God wants to hear about it. Next week, we're kind of going to go a little bit further into this because we're going to talk about motives of the heart in prayer. But what matters to us matters to God because he cares about us. 1 Peter 5 says, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." The things that are going on inside of us, even though other people may say, "Oh, that's not a big deal," if it's a big deal to you, it's a big deal to God. In the same way that a parent will care for their child when something is going on in their life, if they're upset, their best friend is no longer their best friend and they're kindergarten, you know, okay, they're probably going to be best friends again tomorrow. But in that moment, they're distraught, aren't they? And you care about them. And so you care about what's going on. God is the same exact way. He cares about what's going on in our lives because he cares about us. Pray about everything that matters to God. Be honest with God. Talk to him about what matters and don't stop. Talk to God continually. If the creator of the universe wants to hear from us, why would we want to stop? Why would we want to stop having conversations with the person that created everything, that knows every detail? Why would we go, "I don't want to talk to him"? Have those conversations. Do it continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ." Never stop praying, even if it's the outcome that you don't want. Keep praying. It's really common for us to, when we get what we want or we get what we're asking God for us to go, "Sweet, awesome, thank you," and take off. And in the same way, when we are continually praying for something and it doesn't happen the way we want, we go, "I'm done with this. Why should I keep praying when it's not answered the way I want? It's not done the way that I think it should be." In both cases, we have to keep praying for an answered prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of joyfulness, praising God and continuing to do so for one that's not answered or answered the way we like. Prayers for understanding, for peace within the situation. Maybe in prayers for obedience to say, God, I don't understand and I don't like it, but you know better than I. Continually having those conversations, no matter what it's about. If we're upset, having that conversation the same way that Moses did. If we're excited, if we're happy, giving praise and thanks. Continuing to tell God how amazed we are by him. When we pray, God hears us and he knows what's going on. But more importantly, he knows more than we do. He sees beyond what we can see. He has a lot more understanding than we ever will. And if we feel like nothing is happening, keep praying. Keep bringing it in front of God. A little handy acronym to kind of help you remember this is PUSH. PUSH. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Because if you're waiting for an answer and you continually bring it to God, something will happen. Hannah in the Old Testament is an awesome example of this. In 1 Samuel 1, 12 through 13, the first part of verse 13 says, "And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were not moving, but her voice was not heard." For a little backstory on Hannah, if you don't know, she is the wife of a guy named Elkanah, who has his wife Hannah and Peninnah. They love their names. Peninnah had kids, but she was the second wife. Hannah was the first wife and the one that Elkanah loved the most. And each year they would go to the temple, and Elkanah would make sacrifices and give offerings, and a portion of those were, according to the law, to be taken and eaten. And he would give a portion to Peninnah and her kids, but then he would give a double portion to Hannah because he loved her and he knew she didn't have kids and couldn't have kids. And Peninnah would taunt her and make fun of her. And each year that they went, Hannah would go to the temple and she would pray. And she would pray for a child each year. And she would continue to pray. And finally, God blessed her with a child. She named him Samuel and she dedicated him to God, and he was raised in the temple. He became the one that anointed King David. She kept praying. Despite everything that else was going on, despite the hurt that she had, despite the taunting that was going on. And even at one point, she is accused of being drunk because she's praying in her heart and not with her voice. She kept on praying. Our prayer life needs to be one that is continuous, one that is reoccurring over and over and over again. Sometimes it's the same prayer until it's answered. But either way, continuing to have those conversations, being constant in talking with God. And the final idea I have for prayer is talk to God and listen for his response. Oftentimes we forget this final piece. If we're good at praying, sometimes we're not so good at this piece. We pray and we go instead of praying and waiting. Praying and listening. Taking the time to wait to listen to what God may have to tell us. Communication is a two-way street, and if we expect God to listen to us, we have to listen to for him. 1 Kings 19:12-13 says, "And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave." This is an instance where the prophet Elijah was listening for God. And all these different events occurred that he was trying to find God in. There was the earthquake, there was fire, there's a few others, these big, loud, tremendous events that he was listening and looking to find God. But then it came in a gentle whisper. And the only way for him to have heard that gentle whisper was for him to be actively listening for God's voice, seeking out God's voice. Sometimes we have to be patient and wait for his response. We have to wait, and that's the hard part, because we usually want our answer right away. We want the decision, we want the answer to be made right then and there. We don't want to wait. But God will respond. And when he does, you're going to know it. When we are seeking God and listening for him, we will know when he responds. In John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." We will know his voice when we hear it. He knows us. He knows who we are inside and out. He knows what gets our attention. He knows how to communicate with us best. He knows how to talk with us. We have to be ready when he responds to our conversation with him. Because when he wants you to hear it, you will hear it. It may come in something big, it may come in something small. But we have to be ready. Prayer is something that's very, very important. And it's key to having a healthy relationship with God. Just as any parent wants to hear from their kids, God wants to hear from us. My hope is that over the next couple of weeks, we get a better understanding of prayer, a deeper understanding of it, and in turn, that'll lead us to having a deeper understanding and deeper relationship with Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, sometimes we don't know what to say when we're talking with you. And that's okay, because Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will groan on our behalf when we don't know it, when we don't have words. But at the same time, God, you have given us the ability to have conversations with you, to have the tough conversations when we're angry and upset, and also joyful conversations, God. God, I just ask that you'd help us to have a better understanding of what our conversations need to be like with you, God. Would help us see that you do respond. Sometimes in ways we don't expect. But that when you do speak to us, we will hear your voice. God, just as we head out from here today, that our conversations with you are continuous. That they're honest. That they're not full of unnecessary things, God. But that we're able to bear ourselves to you, God, without fear, but with confidence, knowing that you, our Creator, you, our Savior, want to have a conversation, that you want to hear our voice. God, I just ask that you would fill us, your church, with your Spirit, God. That as we are in the midst of making decisions about what things should look like in the future for us, God, that you would show us the right direction. Where you want us to go, how you want us to do things, God. And that it's in your timing. God, we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together on this next song.